Welcome to the She Wears Armor podcast. I'm your host, Heather Lauder. I'm a daughter of the king, a wife, a mama to six, podcaster, coach, and advocate. I'm a survivor of domestic abuse and a former family law paralegal. I know you thought getting away from your abuser would feel like freedom, but now it seems like staying would have been easier. You're not only battling your ex, now you're up against a broken justice system, agencies that are corrupt, and dealing with officials who act like you're a bother. You are emotionally and financially drained and don't know how much more you can handle. If you're ready to build and implement a strategic action plan for your high conflict court case, find healing after toxic relationships, and learn your true identity in Christ, go grab a caffeinated drink, a notepad, and that favorite pen you probably took from someone, and let's get cracking. Episode 2 has been changed. Surprise! Look, I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. He put it on my heart that we need to get more into brokenness, and that is what we're going to do. So today, let's talk more about our response to brokenness and our response to the brokenness of others. Are you mature or immature in your walk with the Lord? You might be surprised by the answer. Let's get started. Please be aware that any advice provided is not to be considered legal counsel or therapy. I am not a licensed attorney or therapist, and my responses are for informational purposes only. For specific legal or therapeutic concerns, please consult with a qualified professional in the respective field. Hey guys, before we dive in, just a quick reminder. Please share this podcast with your friends, screenshot it, share it on your Instagram and Facebook, and be sure to tag me in it so I can give you a shout out and a thank you. Make sure you're following all of my social media accounts to keep up to date on what's going on. I would also love to discuss some of these topics with you and get your ideas about what you want to hear on this podcast. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you'll receive notifications when something new is happening. Please, and most importantly, take a minute to give me some stars and write a little review on Apple iTunes. This is how you can help other women find my content. The ranking will boost me up in the algorithm so they can get the help for themselves or someone they love. All right, let's go. Why do our relationships fail? What drives someone to hurt another? God created us in His own image. Did you hear what I said? He wanted us to be marked so that everyone knew we were His. When He was finished with His creation, Genesis 1:31 says, He said it was very good. We have the ability to do wonderful things, but then we turn around and ruin it. We create greenways and parks for families to play in, but we drive by and throw trash out. We give the homeless guy on the corner food to eat, but we post it on social media so others can see. We attentively listen to a sister pour her heart out about her marriage and confidence, but turn around and say to another sister, "You didn't hear this from me," but we say, "Excuse me," to the person we bumped into at the grocery store, but we yell, "Get out of the way," to our kids when we trip over them. Eve's decision to believe the lies of the serpent put her desire for knowledge above God. Knowledge is power, right? So her desire for power, she put above God. Now slow down. I didn't say having desire is bad. When she craved the power and knowledge more than she loved God, that's when she fell. And she took everyone with her. Paradise was lost that day. Eve lost her innocence and found shame, guilt, and trouble in her relationship with Adam. And what did they do? They hid from God, ashamed of their nakedness. Then when God confronted them, Eve blamed the serpent, Adam blamed Eve, and there you have the first destructive relationship pattern. It only took one generation for the result of a decision that seemed harmless to turn deadly. Cain's jealousy led to the murder of his brother Abel. Paul explains it best in Romans 1:29-31. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. Paul's teachings emphasize the importance of self-reflection, humility, and accountability in navigating conflicts and challenges within relationships. He reminds us that our perceptions can be clouded by our own biases, emotions, and limited understanding, making it difficult to accurately assess the situation and our own contributions to it. In his teachings, the Apostle Paul offers profound insights to the complexities of human relationships, particularly in the context of marriage conflict. One of the key lessons that Paul teaches us is the challenge of recognizing our own role in conflict, especially when we are convinced that the other person's behavior is the primary cause of our suffering. Paul's teachings emphasize the importance of self-reflection, humility, and accountability in navigating conflicts and challenges within our relationships. Paul reminds us that the way we see things, our perception, can be clouded by our own biases, emotions, and limited understanding. And it makes it difficult to accurately assess the situation and recognize our own part in it. When we find ourselves in a situation where we feel like the other person's behavior is causing us harm or distress, Paul encourages us to pause, take a step back, and examine our own attitudes, our actions, and motivations. He challenges us to consider how our own words and choices and behaviors may be contributing to the problem. Paul's teachings highlight the tendency of human nature to blame others for our problems rather than taking responsibility for our own shortcomings. Doesn't that sound like the world that we live in? No one wants to take responsibility. Paul warns against the dangers of self-righteousness and hypocrisy. He urges us to first remove the log from our own eye before attempting to address the speck in someone else's eye. In doing so, Paul teaches us the importance of humility, empathy, and forgiveness, and fostering healthy and harmonious relationships. He reminds us that true transformation and reconciliation can only occur when we are willing to acknowledge our own faults and shortcomings, and then extend grace and understanding to others. Ultimately, Paul's teachings serve as a powerful reminder that while it may be easy to point fingers and assign blame, true healing and growth requires us to confront our own vulnerabilities, biases, and limitations. By embracing humility and accountability, we can cultivate greater self-awareness, empathy, and compassion in our relationships, leading to greater understanding, reconciliation, and peace. It is so true. Our brokenness, or dysfunction if you're speaking secular terms, causes so much pain, heartache, and it can ruin relationships. So what do we do with our brokenness? That decision determines whether we grow and mature and become more like Christ, or we become destructive towards ourselves and others. This is why we need to understand salvation. Salvation has the idea of restoration, wholeness, and healthiness. Salvation is not merely forgiveness of sin so that someday we get to go to heaven. Yet, that is such a blessing, yes. But salvation also includes restoration. We are to become emotionally whole and spiritually holy through our journey of sanctification so that it becomes part of who we are, our character, so that our brokenness doesn't lead us to destructiveness. Remember, we talked about the sanctification process in the first episode, and we talked about how that is part of our healing journey. This is where we walk with God through His Word, hand in hand. How would your life change if you stopped and evaluated your response to your own brokenness and the brokenness of others? I did this one day after God brought it to my attention. One day, I was stewing on how someone had responded to my husband over a certain situation. I mean, this really got in my craw. But I had heard this person in church talking about how we are to meet people where they are. Mind you, when this was said in church, I totally agreed, and I still agree, totally agree. But I thought, practice what you preach. So all these thoughts, whole drawn out conversation within my own head of, you're not meeting him where he is. And look, my husband is a big old burly mountain man. He is abrasive. He speaks his mind with no filter. I'm aware. But I also know the other side of him and the change that the Lord has made in his life. Is he perfectly walking with the Lord? No, neither am I, and neither are any other Christians. Does he respond to others in a kind and gentle manner like he should? No, he doesn't do that either. But at this time, I was thinking, he hasn't been walking with the Lord as long as this other person, and he isn't the one in Sunday school talking about how we need to meet people where they are. So I'm thinking, this person doesn't truly understand what it means to meet someone where they are. When a person has brokenness, insert their trauma here, that hasn't been healed by the sanctification process, they're going to respond to you like a broken person. I was all on my high horse about how this person was a hypocrite and, you know, all the things. And then God stepped into the conversation in my head and he said, hey, she's responding to your husband like that because she has her own brokenness that hasn't healed yet. You want to talk about a gut punch? The Lord done knocked me right off my high horse. And then he was sweet enough to give me a vision. He showed me teaching others about how to respond to their brokenness and how to respond to the brokenness of others. The Lord also gave me another example to think about. Open up your Bibles with me to Matthew 28, 19 through 20. If you're driving down the road right now, just let go of the steering wheel, let go and let God, turn around, grab your Bible from the back seat and get in the Word with me. Jesus, take the wheel. Just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'll just read it to you. You can look at it later. What is the command that Jesus gave us? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. So good. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I love that part the most. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Oh, that's so good to know. This is the Great Commission, Christian. We are commanded to do what? Go. So why don't we? Why are we scared to share the gospel with the person in the checkout line in front of us? The gospel that saved us. The one that we heard so that we would believe that saved us from hell. Why won't we share it? I'll give you one word. Rejection. Yep. Fear of rejection stops us dead in our tracks. How are they going to respond to me? Will they reject me by telling me they want no part of this conversation? Will they get mad? What will they say to me? What if they tell me they don't want to hear this? What if they make a scene? I'm just going to stand here and keep my mouth shut. What happens if that was the only time that person in front of you would ever hear the gospel and you didn't share? They go to hell. It is so important. We are commanded to do this. We have a responsibility, Christian. No wonder God walks through the process of sanctification with us. He wants us to be emotionally whole and spiritually holy so we can do as we are commanded. I don't have time to worry about if that person is going to reject me. They may not know it, but they don't have time for that either. Let me explain it this way. Stop taking it personally. It has nothing to do with you. You're not that important. Just take that right off your shoulders. That should give you relief. It ain't about you. When someone rejects you, meaning they are responding out of their brokenness, it ain't about you. It's about them. They have had something happen to them in their life, some sin that has scarred them. And out of their trauma comes their reaction, which is to reject what you are saying to them. Jesus was rejected too. He was rejected by a bunch of broken people. That's what we're walking around with, is broken people. Look what they did to him for saving them. And what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, my heart. That is a picture of how you should respond to a broken person. We are going to look at responses to brokenness, how we should respond to brokenness. As you start this journey, it is important that you are completely honest with yourself and with God regarding any issues, the sin issues in your life and everything you have hiding deep in your heart. There is a mature way and an immature way to respond. You won't do yourself any favors by responding immaturely. And even if you are good at hiding behind those masks you've created, you are not fooling the all-knowing God. Let's take a look at responses to brokenness.
Our first response to brokenness should be that we learn to recognize brokenness instead of being blind to it or in denial of it. When I was in a destructive relationship, I was in denial about his brokenness, and I enabled it by covering up his abusive behavior. I even gave excuses for it. I believed the lies he told me, and I even believed that I was the awful person he said I was. I believed that I deserved the abuse. I didn't know that my identity was in Christ because I didn't even know who Christ was. I was trying to fill the void I had within me by what I thought was earning my abuser's love. I was constantly striving for perfection and looking to him for approval. I never recognized that his behavior was stemming directly from his own brokenness. Being blind to his brokenness kept me stuck in a relationship that had the potential to become deadly. It wasn't that long ago that I realized I had been blind to and even in denial of my own brokenness. I would often react to something that I didn't like by lashing out and then excusing my behavior by blaming someone else. Or I expected my husband to give me the joy that my heart was yearning for. My relationship struggled so much because I misplaced expectations. Now I understand that God gave me emotions to warn me that something isn't right. Like the lights that pop up on the dash when your car has something wrong with it, emotions are God's way of telling you to check your engine. If you have feelings such as guilt, shame, anxiety, or anguish, recognize that they are a warning signal that brokenness is affecting you and you need to take it to the Lord. Psalm 139:23-24. It's where the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." This passage is an example of how we need to go to the Lord in humility and self-examination and ask Him to search our heart and reveal any hidden sin or wrongdoing. It demonstrates a willingness to recognize, confront, and confess our sin rather than turning a blind eye to it. To recognize our sin, we have to have a willingness to be honest with ourselves and open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. To be able to do this means that we have to regularly examine our thoughts, our attitudes, and behaviors in light of God's Word. So using God's Word to shine a light on our darkness, and then seek forgiveness and transformation through Christ. The second thing we need to do is face our brokenness and ask for forgiveness. No one likes to admit their faults. I grew up thinking that if I was perfect, that I was exactly what someone wanted me to be, then they would love me. I thought I had to earn love. I was yearning for someone to love me. There was no way that I was going to admit any brokenness, much less face it. If I did that, it meant that I wasn't good enough to love. Asking for forgiveness meant that I had to admit that I did something wrong, which blew perfectionism out of the water. Facing our brokenness and asking for forgiveness is a deeply transformative and healing process that is central to our Christian faith. It requires humility, vulnerability, and a willingness to confront our own shortcomings and mistakes. As followers of Christ, we are called to acknowledge our imperfections and seek reconciliation with both God and others. When I learned of what Jesus Christ did for me, I was floored. God sent His only Son to die on a cross for me because He loved me. I hadn't done anything to earn His love. I don't have to fear the punishment of God because Jesus already paid it for me. It is finished. Once I believe in Jesus' saving grace, then no one can take that away. I don't have to keep trying to be perfect to earn His love. Hold on. Yeah, that took me a while to come to terms with. But when I did, honey, this captive was set free. A powerful example of seeking forgiveness is found in the story of the prodigal son. That's in Luke 15:11-32. After squandering away his inheritance and hitting rock bottom, the prodigal son humbly returns to his father, confesses his sins, and asks for forgiveness. Despite his waywardness, the father welcomes him back with open arms, demonstrating God's unconditional love and mercy towards those who repent. As Christians, we are called to follow the example of the prodigal son and humbly acknowledge our own brokenness and need for forgiveness. Through sincere repentance and a contrite heart, we can experience that transformative power of God's grace and mercy, both in our relationship with Him and with others. By seeking forgiveness and reconciliation, we can experience healing, restoration, and renewed fellowship with God and those around us. The third way to respond to brokenness is to take responsibility for your part of the problem. I always had a way to articulate my story as to not take on any of the blame or as little as possible of the blame. If I took responsibility for my part of the problem, then that means there's a problem. And that means I'm not perfect. And if I'm not perfect, I'm not loved. Now I realize that taking responsibility for my part of any problem brings me closer to people. It makes me realize that I don't have to be perfect to be loved. It takes so much weight off my shoulders. A verse that speaks to the importance of taking responsibility is found in James 5:16, which says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Taking responsibility for our part of the problem is a biblical principle that aligns with the teachings of Jesus and the wisdom found in Scripture. By humbly acknowledging our faults, confessing our sins, and seeking reconciliation, we can foster healthy and harmonious relationships built on a foundation of honesty, humility, and grace. This brings us to our last one, number 4. Make the effort to change. I start my day with a prayer of gratitude to the Lord. I fully surrender my day to Him, and I ask Him to convict my heart of anything that doesn't glorify Him, so that I can confess it and turn away from it. It is a sincere prayer for how I want my day to go, but it also is a reminder to me that I have to work on changing my behavior daily. I continue to be more Christ-like constantly. I end my day with a check-in. I start with gratitude, then I ask Him to again show me anything that wasn't in line with Him. Trust me, you ask and He'll tell you. Making an effort to change is important to spiritual growth and personal development. Throughout the Bible, there are numerous verses that encourage believers to pursue transformation and strive for righteousness. These verses serve as a source of inspiration and guidance for those seeking to overcome their shortcomings and become more like Christ. One such verse is found in Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." This verse emphasizes the importance of renewing our minds and aligning our thoughts and actions with God's will. It reminds us that true transformation begins from within as we allow the Holy Spirit to renew our hearts and our minds. In addition to these verses, the Bible is full of stories of individuals who experience profound transformation through their encounters with God. From the Apostle Paul, who went from persecuting Christians to becoming one of the greatest missionaries of all time, to the prodigal son, who returned to his father's embrace after squandering his inheritance. These stories serve as powerful examples of the transformative power of God's grace. Ultimately, making an effort to change requires humility, perseverance, and faith. It involves acknowledging our need for God's guidance and strength, and actively seeking to align our lives with His purposes. It can be painful to recognize our own brokenness. It can become even more difficult to recognize the brokenness of the people we share destructive relationships with, especially when we feel they have so much potential because we know what their good qualities are. In a destructive relationship, the response to another's brokenness is a delicate and crucial matter. It's important to approach the situation with empathy, compassion, and a deep understanding of the dynamics at play. First and foremost, it is essential to recognize that both parties in a destructive relationship may be experiencing their own forms of brokenness. The abuser may be acting out of deep-seated insecurities, traumas, or distorted beliefs about power and control. Likewise, the victim may be grappling with feelings of worthlessness, fear, and a sense of powerlessness. However, this does not excuse or justify the destructive behavior. It's important for you to acknowledge and confront the reality of the abuse you're experiencing and to seek safety and support. At the same time, your response to your partner's brokenness should not involve blind acceptance or harmful behavior or enabling them to continue their destructive actions. Rather, it should involve setting boundaries, seeking help, and holding them accountable for their actions. It's also crucial for you to avoid responding to them with harshness, judgment, or criticism. Instead, you should strive to maintain your own emotional, psychological well-being, while also encouraging them to seek help and address the root cause of their destructive behavior. Ultimately, both parties in a destructive relationship need to be willing to confront their own brokenness and to seek healing and growth. This may involve therapy, counseling, support groups, and other forms of intervention to address the underlying issues contributing to any abuse. In order to understand more clearly the roots of destructive behaviors, it's important to look closely at what's going on within the hearts of those who are blind and destructive. So I'm going to leave you with some thoughts, maybe a little homework assignment, something that you can do to respond to brokenness and a destructive relationship that you may be in. Number 1, reflect on your feelings. Take some time to journal about your emotions and experiences in your relationship. Are you feeling hurt, afraid, or overwhelmed by your partner's behavior? Acknowledge and validate your feelings as they are important indicators of the impact of brokenness in your relationship. Number 2, seek support. Reach out to a trusted friend, family member, or counselor who can provide you with emotional support and guidance. Share your concerns and struggles openly and don't hesitate to ask for help if you need it. 3, set boundaries. Identify specific boundaries that you need to establish in order to protect yourself from further harm in the relationship. This may include setting limits on verbal or physical abuse, seeking safety outside of the home if necessary, or seeking legal protection if the abuse escalates. 4, practice self-care. Prioritize your own physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being while engaging in activities that bring you joy and relaxation. Whether it's taking a walk in nature, spending time with loved ones, or engaging in prayer and meditation, make self-care a priority in your life. 5, pray for guidance. Spend time in prayer seeking God's wisdom, strength, and guidance as you navigate the challenges of your relationship. Ask Him to give you clarity, courage, and discernment to make healthy decisions for yourself and your future. 6, take action. Consider your options for seeking help and support, whether it's contacting a local domestic violence hotline, speaking to a pastor or counselor, or seeking legal advice. Remember, you're not alone, and there are resources and support available to help you break free from the cycle of abuse and find healing and restoration. As we close today's show, let's remember that no marriage is beyond redemption in the hands of a loving and merciful God. Let's commit to seeking His guidance and His grace as we navigate the challenges of our relationships. And let's also remember that through Him, all things are possible, even the restoration of the most broken marriages. Join us next time as we continue to explore how faith can guide us through life's toughest trials. Until then, may God's love and peace fill your hearts and homes. Be back here next week for the next episode drop. Hey sis, I can't even begin to explain how much it means to me that you are here and listening to this show. I am beyond grateful for you. If you enjoyed it or learned anything today, share it with your friends. Screenshot it, share it on your Instagram and Facebook, and be sure to tag me in it so I can give you a shout out and a thank you. Don't be a stranger. Make sure you are following all of my social media accounts to keep up to date on what's going on. I look forward to discussing these topics and hearing your ideas on what you want to hear on this podcast next. So, find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Hit the follow or subscribe button to be sure you are receiving those notifications when something new is happening. Please, and most importantly, help a sister out. Take a minute to show me some love. Give me some stars and write a little review on Apple iTunes. Send this Jesus-loving, truth-spitting, regular old country girl to the top of the algorithm so other women can find my content to help themselves or someone they love. Thanks so much for listening in, y'all. Remember, friends, forgive your enemies, it messes with their heads. Until next time, love and blessings, Heather.